The secret to well-being is discovering the power that is your birthright. The power to create a happier, healthier life drawn from our own vast internal resources. Join Jules and her guests as they gently guide you to shift your perspective from the familiar negative to the divinely connected, a place that will not only positively impact your world, but possibly shift the planet. It's all right here on Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. And as we come to a close in 2012, the year of awakening, I want to invite you to explore our holographic world by changing your perception on what is occurring in your life. Then we're going to talk to Sydney Biddle Burrows, better known as the Mayflower Madam. Many of you will recall the sensational scandal Sydney was in during the 1980s that was broadcasted worldwide. She ran a huge, successful escort service in New York, and her company's clients were men in the ivory tower, you know, the most powerful men in New York and even the world. It's an amazing story, which she'll tell you about tonight, as well as focusing on what she did afterwards. It's clear to me that she's a brilliant businesswoman, and it may even surprise you to learn that she is now an energy healer that specializes in correcting business blocks. It's going to be a great show, so sit back, relax, kick up your feet, or just keep on driving. We'll be right back after these words.
You're listening to Law of Attraction Radio Network, enhancing the well-being of millions of listeners worldwide. LOARadionetwork.com is heard through 25 different internet radio stations, as well as iTunes Radio, Stitcher.com, and our mobile apps. The Law of Attraction Radio Network, your trusted source of daily inspiration at LOARadionetwork.com. Need help realizing your dreams? As a hypnotherapist specializing in the law of attraction, Jules Johnson can help you to break through your critical mind into your manifested dream. Get started today by going to lawofattractiontools.com. Set up a personal Skype video or phone session. Law of Attraction Tools is there to help you turn your desires into reality. That's lawofattractiontools.com.
Welcome back. Some of you may be listening to the show through our radio broadcast through Stitcher.com or TuneIn. And if you are, then you're hearing our other fabulous shows on Law of Attraction Radio Network, especially our newest show, The Great Metamorphosis Show with Marbeth Dunn. Marbeth is known as the joyful strategist, and with every show, she gears you up to be so happy. It's well worth the listen. And I want to remind you that if you discover a favorite show on Law of Attraction Radio Network, then go to LOARadionetwork.com and look at the show schedule. It's there that you can find your favorite show and go to their show page. That's where you can actually download just your favorite show to hear on demand. Remember, these shows are free, simply because we're hoping that you ripple out what you resonate with to others in your life. Invite others to experience an easier way to live, free of the drama and pain, all through the law of attraction. Now, as a hypnotherapist specializing in the law of attraction, I am constantly reminded of the blind spots that each of us has when it comes to seeing our reoccurring patterns. It's just far too easy to blame other people for the way that we feel because we're living in a 3D world and are unable to realize our environment is but a hologram reflecting back to us what is within our own mind. But now in the last month of 2012 and the beginning of 2013, we are moving into a fourth and fifth dimensional world. We are now grasping the fact that others in our lives are simply a mirror of our own inner emotions, our demons. And if we can't realize this, well, then we remain stuck in the past, no matter how hard we try to change ourselves. For instance, I had an older gent come into my office to stop smoking. Since smoking is only 10% addiction and 90% emotional, we talked about the emotions that kept him from being smoke-free, which is really what he wanted to be, a non-smoker. Well, within 15 minutes, I spotted the reoccurring patterns in his life. This man, who, by the way, was very closed up and lived a very frustrating life, was married around the age of 20, and it wasn't a happy marriage at all, but he did tolerate it. His wife got cancer, and he took care of her, and then she died. Well, he discovered he really didn't like being alone, so he married his next-door neighbor. And they weren't exactly matched up, but it was better than him being alone, so he tolerated her. Then she contracted cancer, and he took care of her, and then she died. Well, it doesn't stop there. He then marries another next-door neighbor, to which he again just tolerates. She develops cancer, and he ends up frustrated and in my office because he's taking care of someone else with cancer. And as it turns out, his third wife was sitting in my office waiting to come in to stop smoking as well, since she just had surgery for bladder cancer. Talk about a clear picture of the law of attraction. He was unable to see what it was that he was reflecting out to his environment. Even in his 70 years of age, he could not see that he created his world through his perception. And the reason why he couldn't stop smoking was because he was smoking down his emotions instead of looking at them. Of course, it stemmed from his childhood of his mother leaving him with a babysitter because she had to go to work to support them both. His feelings of abandonment and his need to be loved and appreciated, which he didn't get from his babysitter, kept him searching outward for the fulfillment of childhood needs instead of looking inward to resolve his issues permanently. Even at the age of 70, his simple childhood perception was enough to allow him just to simply tolerate his life, not to improve it, but to tolerate it. Now, you may say that if the world is of his creation, did he manifest his wives to have cancer instead of him? Interesting, but that's another topic that we're going to discuss on another show. So let's go to another client. I had a wonderful lady come in for depression, and she was having problems with her boyfriend, who was continually, verbally abusing her, but she would let him come back time and time again. Going backward through her past relationships, we discovered that her family situation was extremely dysfunctional, with her mother working most of the time and her older brother verbally and physically abusing her. I mentioned to her that her boyfriend has taken the place of her older brother, and her aha moment had occurred. She promptly kicked out her boyfriend and started changing from the inside out. Her depression lifted, and she became powerful and completely in charge of her life. She changed her perception in just one session. And here's the thing, awakening can happen so fast when you're willing to look inward and see how the perception actually made you a victim instead of a victor. I had another client say to me that nobody liked him. Painful memories of being rejected by so many people. So we started looking at it backwards, and it came down to just one grandparent who wouldn't let him spend the night. He carried this for years, and which actually attracted other rejections to him. The cells were remembering the feelings of the painful rejection, and soon more instances occurred that reflected back the feelings of the initial rejection without him even thinking about it. Now, looking at this situation as a hologram allows a different perception of the incidents, especially like, wow, wait a minute, I wasn't really rejected. It was my grandfather having a bad day. It wasn't about me after all. And upon that realization, he shifted immediately. The point is to view the world as a giant hologram of your creation. The kind like the Star Trek episodes of the hologram deck. It is this way that you can see a bigger picture. That there are other actors in the play that you created. And when you perceive something as painful, this starts the reoccurring pattern which you continually use to sabotage what it is you really want. It's all in your perception of what was played out. So while you're listening to the show, let's do an experiment. Bring to mind something that is driving you absolutely nuts. Perhaps it's a relationship with your spouse or children or parents or bosses, or perhaps it's about not having a relationship at all. Perhaps you feel unappreciated or unloved. Perhaps you beat yourself up for not being good enough. Now remember, relationships are the holographic reflection of you and your emotional issues, and it affects the way that you continue to play the game of life. Simply move backward through your life and ask yourself why you created these particular people in your life. What were you supposed to see about yourself through them? Then go back further to see your teen years and then back to your early childhood. And by the time you get to your childhood, the big explosion of awareness will occur, in which you will see which emotions have kept you stuck in your reoccurring patterns. Then you can finally move forward from the 3D world on being a victim to the fifth dimensional world where you are the creator within your hologram. This is a powerful place for you to be when you realize that you create everything in your life. You choose then to become the victor immediately by changing the perception of what happened in the past. The person who you thought was an enemy was only a manifestation of your creation to show you what you thought of yourself. So, as we finish up the year 2012 and move into 2013, we do our final awakening of understanding that our world is a direct reflection of us. What we don't like, what makes us fearful, what makes us feel out of control, starts and stops within us. The healing that must take place is an inner job. And again, it's easier to see the world as a hologram to understand what is truly going on with you. This is the only way that you can become your true, authentic self and to create the magnificent world of joy and happiness and abundance that you so richly deserve. So let's get on with tonight's show. Sydney Biddle Barrows, known as the Mayflower Madam. Now, if you remember your histories, Sydney's ancestors came over on the Mayflower. Little did her ancestor know that Sydney would literally rock New York City by attempting to name names in her unprecedented trial of her business clientele through her escort service. I remember watching on TV how they were all trying to brand her as evil, but the beautiful and classy madam won the day for women everywhere. You may also remember that after graduating from the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City, she was introduced to the world of high-class prostitution and started her own escort service named Cachet, which existed in New York City from 1979 to 1984. Cachet offered superior service for its time, focusing on delivering a classy and elegant experience to the wealthy and powerful who either visited or lived in New York City. Some of her clients included major industrialists, high-powered business executives, lawyers, foreign diplomats, and even Arabian oil sheiks. In October 1984, her escort service was shut down and she was charged with promoting prostitution by a Manhattan district attorney. The name Mayflower Madam was coined by a New York Post reporter. After her guilty plea, she published a best-selling autobiography, Mayflower Madam, The Secret Life of Sidney Biddle Burrows, in 1986, in which she imparted the advice that made her service so exclusive and successful. Quote, hire good people and pay them what they're worth, unquote. A television film, Mayflower Madam, in 1987, was based on her book and stars Candace Bergen. Burrows has written two other books on modern sexual etiquette, and we're going to talk about her latest one that she finished in 2008, Uncensored Sales Strategies, a radical new approach to selling your customers what they really want, no matter what business you're in. I am thrilled and so honored to have this wildly successful woman on Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Welcome, Sidney.
Well, Jules, I'm honored that you asked me. Thank you.
Sidney, I remember watching this. I was living in Florida, and I couldn't stop watching the news and what was going on with your case. It was so fascinating, and I was just so pro-Sidney. I just thought it was the best thing that could happen to women. Could you share with our listeners what happened?
I guess most people are usually interested in how do you get to be a madam in the first place, because it's not exactly a career path that that most people, plan on or or choose. But what happened was I started out in retailing, and to make a very long story short, I think it was my third job, and I was fired because I refused to participate in a kickback scheme. As I always say, I may be a little crazy, but I'm not dishonest. And there I was on the unemployment line, and I met up with a gal who had to be there at the same time. I see, you can tell this was a long time ago, because if people get unemployment now and you sign up on the computer,
right.
And but back then you actually had to stand every week. You had to go and stand online to prove that you were there, that you were not down in the Bahamas somewhere, which of course you could be now. And so there was another gal who had to report at the same time that I did, and she and I got friendly. So you can't look for a job 24/7. So there was everyone else we knew was working. So we would hang out together periodically, and one day it was my turn to go down to her house, at her apartment. She lived in Greenwich Village, and because I live in New York City, and there she was unpacking a brand new stereo. Well, I knew she didn't have any money. I mean, she was making like the same $75 a week, $100 a week that I was, and so of course I wanted to know where she got it. And she didn't want to tell me, which I thought was very odd. And so I kept pestering her, and finally I said, well, did it fall off the back of a truck or what? I mean, could I get one too? I mean, this is New York, obviously. This, things do fall off back of trucks. It's not unknown. So finally she got very serious, and she looked at me and she said, Sidney, do you swear you won't tell anyone? I said, I swear. She said, I answer the phones for an escort service. And I said, oh, what's an escort service? I didn't have a clue. I didn't. I really didn't. I didn't have a clue. And she told me what it was. And I was like, oh, prostitutes. Oh, my God, I know someone who knows prostitutes. That's how bad it was. I was one of the only people who knew that she was doing this. And so I learned a lot about it over the course of the next few months, because she didn't really have anyone to talk to. And it was interesting. I asked all the same questions anyone would ask. And yeah, it was interesting. So I remember I was sitting at home one day, and I actually was sitting there addressing envelopes with my resume in them. And she calls me up, and she said, hey, Sidney, one of the girls in the office is leaving. Would you be interested in the job? Well, all of a sudden I had cold feet. I was afraid of the mafia, the police. It's one thing to say, oh, gee, that sounds really good. $50 a night off the books. Hey, if they ever have any openings, let me know. It's one thing to sort of say that.
Yeah.
But it's another thing to have someone call you up and say, well, gee, how about I take you up on that? But finally, I realized, well, it can't hurt to go over for the interview. And come on, I was curious. I mean, I I was curious. Well, who wouldn't be curious?
Yeah, exactly.
So I went over there, and, you know, I met a number of the girls, and they seemed every bit as nice as my friend had told me that they were, and it was clear that no one was holding a gun to anybody's head or anything. And I thought to myself, you know, it's just answering the phone. I mean, the guy had been in business like 20-something years. You know, why not? So I did. And it was very clear from the first night that I was there that this guy did not have any kind of a business mind whatsoever. As I used to say, it may have been the world's oldest profession, but he wasn't running it very professionally. and so my girlfriend and I were constantly Monday morning quarterbacking. You know, if it was me, we would have done that. So, you know, why doesn't he do it that way? We always knew how to do it better. So one day we just looked at each other and we said, you know, we're at least as smart as he is. And we're definitely nicer than he is. You know, why don't we start our own escort service? And so we did. And I wrote a book called Mayflower Madam, which ended up being number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And it was translated into 7 different languages and blah, blah, blah. I'll stop bragging. But that's how what happened is because of that, I started being asked to give speeches on business. And so what would happen afterwards is that people would come up to me from the audience and they, you know, they'd ask me all these questions and a number of them said, well, do you do consulting? Well, Jules, I didn't know what consulting was any more than I knew what an escort service was, okay? I mean, I really didn't. I was in retailing. We don't have consultants in retailing. If we do, they weren't hired by people who did what I did. They were hired by the people up in the ivory towers. So... But I could tell you what they were willing to pay me money to do whatever this consulting was. So at first I just blew them off, you know, and told them, oh, I was just too busy to do any consulting right now. But after it happened a few times, and like I said, I could tell they were willing to pay me money to do it, and I certainly could have used the money, I thought, well, let me just find out a little more about this. You know, maybe there's something to this. So I started asking questions. And they told me what it was they thought that I could help them with. And after it happened a few times, you know, I thought to myself, you know, I think I can do that. So I finally said yes to one of them. And, oh, my God, I'm sure everybody listening, and you too, everyone's had this happen to them once. Hasn't it ever happened to you that you just felt like, oh, my God, I'm gonna be found out as this huge fraud?
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean, my knees were shaking. My stomach was doing some somersaults. I was just positive I was going to go out there and just do this big, huge belly flop, and I was going to be so humiliated and embarrassed that, you know, I was never going to walk the streets again. So, but I got there, and it was so easy to see what the hell this guy, you know, what was going on, what was wrong. I call it now my fresh eyes analysis. You walk into somewhere and you have fresh eyes, and you see things that people who are there every single solitary day just can't see. They just don't see it. And I see from the point of view of the customers. And people just have no idea how their customers see things because, as I said, they're so used to seeing it, you know, the way they see it. So it turned out that I was really good at it. And, you know, everybody's good at something. Technology sure is not one of the things that I'm good at, but this turned out to be something I was. And so that's how I got started. That's how I got started speaking because of the book. And then I got started doing business consulting because of the speaking. And that's how I ended up as a business consultant, which is what I do. And my area of expertise is sales choreography, which is everything you do, starting with the first time you get on the radar, you know, from when they see your ad or they hear you on whatever they hear you on. You know, if they make the first phone call, if it's the kind of business where they come in or they go to your website. Anyway, everything has to be choreographed so that the experience they have influences their perceptions, creates certain perceptions that go into what I call the perception file. And then that's how they think about you. You know, perception is reality. So if you perceive someone, like you need to perceive a doctor's office, for instance, has to be perceived as very clean. Mm-hmm. When you go to a financial planner or you go to a lawyer, the perception has to be someone who's very stable, someone who is obviously successful, because if he's successful with other people, that means he'll be successful with you. You know, there's all kinds of perceptions depending on the kind of business you have that your client, your prospects and your clients or your patients or your customers, whatever they are, have to have in order for you to be a success. Mm-hmm. For them to be attracted to you, for them to come back to you, for them to, you know, refer friends and people to you. So that's what I do. I work with people to help them create the right perceptions for the kind of clients that they want to have. So then I got, I had a client who, a prospective client, who was doing something called energy psychology, which I'd never heard of before.
Yes.
And I'm so not a Wheatgrass, Juice, and Tofu burger kind of person. Let me just get that right out there. And I, this whole woo-woo, airy-fairy stuff just doesn't work for me. So when she told me what it was that she did, my eyes could not roll back in my head far enough. But I was intrigued because, you know, she told me that there was a whole business here and she was telling me all about it. And I thought, shit, there are people out there making money doing this really wild, crazy stuff that no person in their right mind would ever even believe. You know, I was just totally not there with it. And, she needed me to help her build a business because she could do that, but she didn't know anything about business. So when I told her how much it was going to be, she said, oh, yeah, I got it, humana, humana, humana. And she said, how about we do barter? Well, my landlord doesn't take barter. Con Ed doesn't take barter. I don't take barter. But for some reason, I was so intrigued because I thought, this has just got to be complete and total, you know, of course you know what. I mean, I thought, I've got to see what this is about. So I told her, okay, I barter 3 sessions with her. And I was so shocked at how effective it was. Oh, my God, I couldn't believe it. So that's when I thought to myself, like, and every business consultant will tell you that people pay you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars to come in and tell them what's wrong and tell them what they can do to fix it. And most of the time they either do nothing or they don't do very much with it. And so, and of course, I had this problem with my clients, too, and I thought, well, my God, this is perfect. I'll do this energy psychology thing, and I'll get rid of the blocks that people have. Because, you know, the reason people don't do things is, for the most part, is because they have some kind of an internal block.
That's right.
I call them roadblocks. They keep them from, you know, doing what they want to do and being the kind of person that they really want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I can fix that. So I went and I learned how to do this and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so now it's a huge part of my practice. I'm actually sort of transitioning over from the business part, which I still do because I like it and I'm good at it. But so I'm now doing more of this roadblock removal thing, so people can get out of their own way, and you know, do what they want to do and be who they want to be.
Well, tell us about that energy psychology that you are doing. What is the process that you take them? Is it, do you use energy, or do you just go into their mind and see where their blocks are? I mean, can you explain?
Yeah, it's all done over the phone. It's all done over the phone. There's no physical. There's no physical touching or anything. It's done over the phone. And I mean, it's a process that if you had told me a few years ago that I would even believe that this was possible, let alone be able to do it and be good at it. I know it sounds like I'm tooting my own horn, but
no, please.
but yeah, it's terrific. I find where the roadblocks are, and the good thing about it is that all the person I'm working with has to do is literally just sit there, or they can lay in bed if they want to, and just be. They don't have to do it. They don't have to talk. You don't have to tell me your life story. You don't have to tell me anything. I've worked with people that I know nothing about them, and then other people, they want to talk, but If you want to keep your business, this is a perfect way to do it. And the results are phenomenal. I mean, just, I like working with people on business, you know, helping people make money. But I would say pretty much every single one of my clients, especially my female clients, they want to work on their weight issues or, you know, getting back in shape issues. So almost everybody has, I call, healthy lifestyle choices. So we have a healthy lifestyle choices thing that we always do. And what it does for weight is phenomenal. I mean, for weight and for exercise, that kind of thing, it's phenomenal. I mean, I've got people I've worked with once who've, like, never had another cookie in their life.
Wow.
No, that's not true. No, they look at the cookies and they don't want them. That's,
yeah.
That's what's great about this is that you literally evolve into someone who looks at the cookies, this is a good example, this is a true example, and just looks at them and says, you know what, I just don't want any. And you really don't. You just don't want it. And which isn't to say that you never want another one the whole rest of your life, but for the most part, you look at things that you were doing before, whether it's drinking or smoking or eating or doing something else you don't want to do, and you just stop wanting to do it. And it's the same with work. You know, if you dawdle away your time on Facebook and all that stuff, you know, by the time I'm done with you, you know, you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
You make healthier, better, more positive choices for yourself.
So are you doing it intuitively by finding out what the roadblocks are, or are you just going in energetically?
What I do, and I don't know how I do it. I don't know how I do it. But I can. What I do is I connect with, I have what I call a moment of silence so I can do my voodoo. That's what I call it, my voodoo. And that's why people need to be calm and, you know, just be sitting there or laying there. And what I literally do is I literally connect with their subconscious mind and I become their proxy. And what a proxy is it's someone who acts for someone else. In other words, like for instance, back in the 1500s, if when the King of England wanted to marry, you know, a princess in Austria, they weren't going to schlep that poor girl all the way from Austria. He certainly wasn't going to go to Austria. They're not going to schlep her all the way there and then have her get there. And he looks at her and says, don't think so. You know, where does that leave everybody? So what they do is he sends an emissary who marries her as the king's proxy, marries her in Austria, and then comes back to England, and then the king marries her. So does that make any sense? That's what a proxy is. It's someone who stands in for somebody else and is them for the purposes of whatever they're doing.
Okay.
They
okay.
need her to be. So I end up being this person's proxy. And then using myself, I look for the negative energy, and it's easy for me to find it because I can do it right here because I'm actually that person for the purposes of that session. I know it sounds insane, but it works. It works. I've got phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal results.
Wow! Wow!
Yeah. And what's really interesting is over the years I've really developed my own protocol, I guess would be the best way to put it, for how I do it. So I still do it the way I learned how to do it, but I now ask different questions and I have my own way of doing it that is more effective than the way I learned.
Ah.
I've built on it. Yeah, yeah.
And how long have you been doing it?
God, it's been a few years now. You know, the older you get, Jules, and everything seems like 2 years ago, and all of a sudden someone says, well, wait a second, it was really 6 years ago.
I know.
Yeah, it's terrible. As I always say, the worst thing about getting old is not the wrinkles. Yeah.
It's not. You know why? Because when we get older, we have to have bifocals or trifocals, right? And when you don't look in the mirror without them, you have no wrinkles. So it's like, It's such a blessing.
Exactly, exactly. Totally, you don't get your makeup on straight either.
Yeah, right.
So the lip liner sort of doesn't do what it's supposed to do.
Uh-huh. Let's go back a little bit because I want to talk about how you and what you went through during that time when you were on all of the news channels. And what did that do to you? Were you in? I mean, how did you react to that? We didn't get to see that. We just saw it on the news.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was on the front cover of, we have three papers here in New York, and two of them are tabloids. And it was on the front cover of the two tabloid papers every single solitary day for 2 weeks, with the exception of one Sunday when Indira Gandhi got shot. But other than that, it was amazing. I mean, and every time I went to court, it was just like, you know, the whole Tiger Woods thing, how nuts everybody went. That's
right.
Exactly the way it is. You can't go anywhere. I mean, I go walking down the street, and all of a sudden a taxi cab would just walking down the street, minding my own business on the sidewalk, and a taxi cab would notice me, and the guy would stop, and he'd stick his head out the window and go, "Yo, Sydney, you go, girl." You know, I couldn't go anywhere. You know, if I went to a restaurant, I'd have to sit with my back, you know, to the restaurant, and then when I went to the bathroom, like every woman in the restaurant had to go to the bathroom. You know, you go to the gym and you come out looking like, you know, a little sweat ball, and you go into the supermarket and you're standing online, the cashier, "Oh, I know you." And I mean, it was, you know, I'm in Macy's at Christmas time, and I get this perfume sprayer that starts running after me, screaming at the top of his lungs, "Hey, aren't you that madam? Aren't you that?" It's top. I'm like, whoa. Oh, it was all kinds of things like that. I could go. I got a million and one stories.
But what happened? What happened inside? I mean, were you frustrated? Were you scared? What were you?
I was never scared. I was never scared. But it was you can't imagine what it is like to lose your anonymity, to have everybody. I mean, now I know what people like. And like Oprah Winfrey can never go anywhere without someone looking, saying, "Oh my God, I knew. Oh my God, that's Oprah." You know, it's such an invasion. It really is. And another thing is that, because I remember seeing, I forget who it was now, it was Jill Clayburgh, who way back when was a big movie star.
Right.
And I remember seeing her in Zabar's, and she had no makeup on, and she looked terrible. And, like, so part of me was excited to see Jill Clayburgh, but then the second part of me said, like, but she looks so awful. So it was the kind of thing where you're uncomfortable going out of the house because everybody recognizes you, and they're so excited about seeing you, but you don't want them to do like I did and say, "Yeah, but she looked like shit," you know? So it was, but and the nice thing was, is you get a lot of extra benefits. I mean, you know, you get great tables and places you can get into anywhere. And I'm not trying to make it sound all awful. It had its pluses and its minuses. But the loss of anonymity, which I think is, you know, if you're someone who wants to be a star, it sounds really good, but I never wanted to be a star, by the way. I was never interested in being famous. But as people who this has happened to, you know, who thought they wanted it originally, even they will tell you, it's after a while, it's just too much.
Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. Tell us about the court situation. What happened?
No, well, the court case ended. It was I paid a $5,000 fine, and that was it.
Isn't
that was
interesting.
It. I mean, no probation, no nothing. And I mean, they were glad to see the door closed behind me. It was a huge embarrassment for the district attorney's office and the police department. So
you were naming names of who?
No, absolutely not. I absolutely refuse to name names. No, I would never have done that. Absolutely out of the question. No, in fact, that's how I ended up with just getting a fine. Because what we said, we told them if they didn't end this, what we were going to do is if they wanted to bring it to trial, you know, voir dire when they pick the jury, and if you've ever been on jury duty, they take you up one by one and you sit there and they ask you different questions to see whether or not you'd be a good juror. And so we told them that if they were to do that, we would have to make sure that there wasn't anybody who could be compromised because they knew any of the clients. So for each person, and this is a public thing, you know, and everything going on in the courts is public except for some families, you know, family court stuff. But we said we were going to read the names of every single solitary client out loud. There were six client books. We were going to read them out loud to every juror. Potential juror. Well, they heard that, and they knew that we had the legal right to do that, and there was no way they could keep us from doing that. So they all said, "Like, oh my God, these people are killing us. You know, we certainly can't have that. Let's get rid of her. What can we do to get rid of her?" And so they charged me $5,000, and that was it.
That's a brilliant strategy. Brilliant.
Oh yeah, I had great lawyers. Yep.
Wow.
It was fun.
It was fun, but it had to have been nerve-wracking.
Yes, it was both. It was both. It was.
Mm. So how long after that did it take you to write your book?
That happened in October of 84, and the book actually came out in September of 86. So like it took us about a year to write it because, you know, after you write it and it gets edited and everything, then it takes a while for them to make it and put it together and all that stuff. So I would say it took about a year.
Wow.
It came out in 86, came out in September of 86. So I just basically hung out, and New York City at that time, back in the 80s, was a really happening, exciting place. And because I was sort of the celebrity of the day, I got invited to everything. I mean, I was going out every night. You know, all dressed to the teeth, and you know everyone wants to give you clothes, and it was fun. I had a really good time.
Wow.
I did. I had a really good time.
And so, writing that book, just even because it's a bestseller.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And it's still on sale too.
No, it's not. No, you can't get it anymore. I mean, you can get it on A Libris. I actually have the rights back, and I keep telling myself that I'm going to, and when I have time, I really am. I'm going to go through it and update it a little bit. There's some things in there that people would understand back then, but wouldn't understand now. So it sort of needs a little more explaining. And
okay,
then,
because it's still being sold on Amazon.
Yes, but not new copies,
okay.
All used copies. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. No, it's been out of print for quite some time now.
And then you've written a couple of other books since then.
Yeah, I've written four total. The most recent one is called Uncensored Sales Strategies, and if I do say so myself, it's a really good book for business. If you're someone who has a small business, if you're a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, you have a professional practice of any kind, it's a great, especially if you're in any of the healing arts, it's a great little book. It has all kinds of things in it that you will not find in any other kind of a business book. And what makes it interesting and fun to read is that, you know, you always have to give examples when you're writing things. People want to know exactly how do I apply this. So all the examples I used were all examples from my former business.
Oh, wow.
It's a fun read. It's called Uncensored Sales Strategies. And that is still in print. Yeah, anybody who's got any kind of a professional practice, I would consider, a lot of people would consider professional practice like a doctor or a lawyer, an accountant, but I consider professional practice energy healers. I mean, that's, you're a professional, you're a healing professional.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's solopreneurs, that's someone who's in business, it's just them, like I'm a solopreneur. Entrepreneurs, anyone who has a small business, professional, I mean, yes, someone who, IBM could probably profit from it, but it's not the kind of book that people who would work for corporations would really ever buy. This was written for people with small businesses.
Okay, so let's talk about business then. Give us some advice on what we can do right now. I mean, we're hearing all about the fiscal financial cliff and everything. Any words of advice for our listeners on what we should be doing? Should we even be paying attention to that?
Well, first of all, the financial cliff is, you know what you ought to be doing is you ought to be writing your congressman and tell them to get off their big, fat, lazy, dirtball, lying, thieving butts. And if you ask me, I'll tell you what I really think. And tell them to do the right thing.
Which is
pass this thing. I mean, there are Republicans there, these Tea Party people, who would just as soon see us go off the cliff. I mean, what that would do to our these people just have no idea what's going on in the real world. They don't know what that would really mean in the real world. People are so unbelievably ignorant, Jules. It's really frightening. I mean, I heard somebody say that President Obama should do something about something that. Everyone thinks the president could just say, "Oh, everybody, the president's not a king." Everyone thinks the president has all these powers, and they don't. And whoever is president gets blamed for all kinds of things that they really have no control over. It's really the Congress.
Yeah.
And so we've got to take these people who purportedly represent us and hold their feet to the fire and not let them screw us and screw the country.
I agree. I mean, I was the one that kept on saying, don't vote in the incumbents, vote them out. Good vote, bring in some new people. In any case, though, what can we be doing right now?
Nothing. For the fiscal cliff, nothing. There's nothing you can do because it has nothing to do with it. I mean, if you're in a business that would be affected by not, you get federal money, or you're in a sector that would be affected if all of a sudden there was no money there. You got to sit down and say to yourself, okay, what am I going to do to keep myself relevant? And one of the first things that people do, which is a big mistake, is say, how can I cut back?
Right.
And then yes, in some ways, in some things you do have to cut back, but what you can't cut back on is you cannot cut back on your customer's experience.
Mm.
You can't cut back on the things that create the perception that your customers have of you. So if it's important that your customers, it's important for everybody who's their customers to trust them, you've got to know what is it that my customers need to see and to hear and to experience in order for them to continue to trust me if they're old customers or, you know, to bring in new customers. And, you know, if you start letting things go, like you don't paint something as often. Things start to look sloppy. Like I was in my gynecologist's office the other day. That place, I don't think it's been painted since the flood. And I said to him, I said, you know, you go and you get undressed. All the hooks are broken. There's nowhere to hang up your clothes. I said, the floor is filthy. I said, you know, you're in the examining room and there's nicks on the walls. And I said, you know, you got to clean this place up. I said, I said, to be honest with you, and I've known this guy since 1979. I mean, he's my longest male relationship. I always tell him that. But I said to him, I said, you know, I would never recommend someone to you. I would never recommend someone to you. And if I hadn't been with you so long, you know, I wouldn't come back here. I come back here because I like you and I have a relationship with you. But I got to tell you, this place is not nice.
Wow. So I can understand what you're saying. You have to be relevant every day with customers, be it old ones or new ones.
Because there's so many alternatives to you.
Yeah. The competition is really up there now. But do we have to reinvent ourselves? How do we stay relevant?
Well, the best thing to do is to find out what other people are complaining about other businesses like yours. A good example is a law firm, just because it's an easy example, is what is the biggest complaint that people have about attorneys? They never get return phone calls.
Yeah.
That upsets people more than anything else.
Yes.
So, you know what you do? And we promise you that when you are a client of ours, you will always have your phone call returned that day. Now, did I say that your lawyer is going to return your phone call? No, I did not say that. Because what can happen is they should have a dedicated person who calls every single solitary person back and says, hi, I've told Mr. So-and-so that you have called. You know, he's on trial, and he's not going to be finished up until, you know, the end of next week. But I told him about your situation, and he said that, that he is going to get back to you and that, whatever the appropriate thing is. But at least that person got a phone call back. And that's what they need more than anything else, is people need to be heard.
Mm.
They need to feel heard. And I know when I was writing a book on cosmetic surgery and cosmetic dermatology that ended up getting canceled after 9/11, but that's a whole other story, is one of the things that patients would complain about the most is almost whenever someone was talking to me about how they were thinking about suing their doctor, it was all because their doctor didn't listen to them. The doctor, they had a serious problem, and the doctor just, like, wanted it to go away and blew them off. And the reason they sued him is somebody said, she said, it's the only way I can get him to pay attention to me. And so that's what you got to remember, is that people will do wild and crazy things if they think they're not being heard.
Mm.
So you've got to make it your business, you know, to hear them. So go and find out what other people are saying that they don't like about the kind of business you're in. What are their complaints? And then make sure that, A, you're not doing it, and, B, that that's one of the things you use in your marketing. And don't say, no, we don't do this like other people. No, that's not what you do. Like with a law firm example, you wouldn't say, you know, and unlike other law firms, you know, we don't, you know, we just say, and, you know, if you become a client, when you become a client of ours, not if, when you become a client of ours, you can be guaranteed that, you know, you will have your phone call returned, you know, by the end of the business day, and, you know, just all these things that, you know, people are looking for.
Mm. And it is true, people need to feel like they're heard and mm-hmm. that they're understood.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to that energy psychology,
mm-hmm.
and you are able to release those blocks. You're kind of like merging with the person to release those blocks. What
mm-hmm.
are the common blocks, especially for business?
One of the believe it or not, one of the biggest blocks, and women have this especially, is receiving.
Ooh.
Receiving money. People have so much conflict. Most of it is subconscious over receiving money. They feel they don't deserve it. They feel that they're asking too much. They feel that that what they're doing, especially with healers, that it's wrong to charge for what they do. You know, they should be giving it away for free.
Right.
Yeah. No, people have major things about receiving. And I got to tell you that I've worked with so many people. And what's uncanny is that when those blocks are gone, it's like the universe knows, and all of a sudden it happens every single time. Stuff starts coming in over the transom. They start getting business from people that they hadn't heard of in a million and one years, or stuff just starts coming in. It's really it's uncanny. It's uncanny how that happens.
What is it about the biggest thing for men, the blocks for men?
They worry about what other people think. If I do X, Y, and Z, what will other people say? They're worried about being criticized.
Really?
And their image. You know, how would this look? They're uncomfortable about saying and things that they know would be the right thing to say, but if their colleagues were to find out, they would look down on them. So men, it's criticism. It's injury to their ego. Anything that might be ego injuring.
Wow.
That's very different. And women don't worry about that. They worry about that very little.
Yeah,
comparatively speaking.
Yeah, but women just have to get to the point where it's okay to receive.
Yep.
Wow.
That's interesting.
That's huge. So does worthiness come into it? Do we feel worthy?
Absolutely. A lot of people don't feel worthy. If you're brought up in any way to, you know, with critical parents or people who, just make you feel like you're not worth something, you're not good enough. I mean, I can't tell you how many clients I've had say to me, you know, like that one of their parents said to me, who do you think you are to think that you can go to Harvard? Or that I had one client, you know, that she was starting her own business, and her father said, who do you think you are that you could, you know, that you could be, you know, because her father, everyone in her realm, everyone had a job, you know, working wherever it was they were working. The very thought of starting your own business, that was unheard of. So it's like, who do you think you are? And a lot of people get that, you know, or you have siblings who, you know, you always felt like the inferior sibling. They always did better than you did.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of that.
Wow.
So receiving and deserving and feeling worthy of it is really an issue. And then there are a lot of little things that go on in people's childhoods, and it's individual to them as to why they might have seen something. Someone might have gotten something, and then something bad happened to them because of it. So it's like, oh my God, well if I get something, then something bad will happen to me too. And then, of course, you've always got the people who think that, well, if I get something, that means other people get less.
Oh,
which, of course, is totally not true. But,
right.
You know, there are people who believe it. There are people who believe it's not spiritually, religiously, you know, mm-hmm. the whole eye of the knee, what a rich man has, it's just about as much of a chance of getting into the kingdom of heaven as a camel has getting through the eye of a needle. Is that the way it goes?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. So, I mean, so there are all kinds of messages that people get as they're growing up. Oh, those rich people. You know, those people live in those big, oh, those rich people. You know, and this idea that rich people aren't nice and rich people aren't happy and, you know, there's all kinds of negative about what rich people are like. So, well, you don't want to be like that. So why would you want to be a rich person? You might have a cousin or a grandmother that everyone goes to them for money. Well, you don't want to be the go-to person in your family, the only one who's got a lot of money. So that's not, so also you're going to subconsciously sabotage yourself so you don't have a lot of money because you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to have everyone expect that you will bail them out all the time.
Mm.
So there's all kinds of little things like that that are individual to different people going
wow.
on.
Very, very fascinating. So do you have a website that people can go and contact you for the energy psychology?
Yes. Would you believe that I actually have the URL roadblockremoval.com. How fabulous is that?
Wow, roadblock.
Roadblockremoval.com. It's a sort of a work in progress. I first put it up about a year and a half ago, and then I started getting so busy doing it that I never had a chance to go any further with the website. So, I mean, there's still stuff up there, don't get me wrong, but it's not, you know, it's not a fancy schmancy. There's some stuff that's still missing. But it doesn't seem to hurt business, so.
Okay, good. But you still have Just Between Us Girls is a book that you wrote. And
yeah, that's not in print anymore either. That's one of the things on my to-do list is to get the rights back for that. But all this stuff you can find on A Libris or a used copy on Amazon, you can get all of that.
Okay, but the last
and Uncensored
one.
Sales Strategies, yeah, now that's new. And that, you know, that you should be able to order.
Boy, that sounds
from
really
bookstore.
Fantastic.
It's a fun book. It's a fun book.
I have no doubt it is. I find that you are absolutely delightful.
Well, thank you.
This is really good information, and I hope people do go to roadblockremoval.com because that's exactly what we need right now to continue to go forward.
Yeah, especially around the holidays, people have. I just had somebody who I just talked off the ledge who's going home for Thanksgiving, and you know her family dynamic has always not been very pleasant, and so I've been working with her because she was just so stressed about going home, and you know it's so easy to fall back into that trap of, you know, being the little sister or the one who's always the bad seed, or you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And here you've gone off on your own and you've evolved, and yet people still think of you in the same way.
Right.
And, you know, how do you deal with that?
So, and again, people will just, they simply just relax and you're able to do it.
Yeah, they just sit in the chair or they just lay on the sofa or on the bed, as long as, you know, no multitasking. And it's about an hour and a quarter. And I do all the work, and you don't have to tell me anything about it. You can keep all of your business, which a lot of people like. And then there's a lot of people who like to talk about it too. So it doesn't matter to me. It still works, and you don't have to believe in it to have it work too, which is also very interesting.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, everybody here believes in it, like I said. Sydney, this has been wonderful. I can't thank you enough
for coming
on, and I hope you come back, and especially if you write another book. We want to know about it ahead of time so that we can talk it up. I'd love to know
about it. Well, thank you.
So thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. My pleasure.
And to all my wonderful listeners, don't forget about the hologram that you are projecting out, that you are the magnificent creator that controls the hologram. Change your perception, and you literally will change your life in an instant. Have a fabulous week. We'll be here next week with another terrific show of Law of Attraction Talk Radio. Have a great one. Bye-bye for now.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with another great show from Law of Attraction Talk Radio. If you'd like to comment on tonight's show, send an email to Jules@LOARadionetwork.com and have a great week.